The first reading is from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites, refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make paths straight for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, hello everyone, and thanks for the reading there. You got the harder one there on the second one, some of those names. You're not the only one who's struggled with them, so that's why I get to preach on it. And we're not going to touch on those verses, we're going to touch on the ones that follow. I want to first tell you about a time when I was preparing to go on a big hike in Tasmania. A few mates of mine and I were preparing by doing some practice hikes through the Royal National Park in New South Wales, which is where I was growing up. We were not seasoned hikers. We didn't know what we were doing. And so we had a map that had all the names of different tracks that we wanted to get to, and we were trying to get down to the coast and on the way back. At one point, we realised that we'd missed a turn, and rather than backtracking back to the fork in the road and taking the right path, we thought, oh, we can cut through here and bush bash our way through to hopefully get to the right path. At first, we had to move bushes and step over plants and things like that, which is probably what we shouldn't have been doing. But as we got closer and closer to the path that we needed to be on, we had seen that we weren't the only ones who'd made this mistake, because we started to see more and more tracks and more solid tracks as we got closer, as people joined in on those same paths. Both our passages today speak of a messenger who would prepare the way for the Lord. Malachi speaks of a messenger who will prepare the way before God. And in the Gospel of Luke, we find that this messenger is John the Baptist. Now, I've been intrigued about John the Baptist and what his role is in this story. If John the Baptist is to prepare the way for the Lord, I sort of felt like, was it really necessary? Did Jesus really need someone to mark out the path for him to follow so that he knew where he was going? Well, I don't think so. Jesus didn't need someone to create a path for him. He would know where to go. And his path that he would make wouldn't meander. It would be straight, knowing exactly where he's going. So if he didn't need to have one, why is that the case? Well, I don't know. But nevertheless, God said through the prophets Isaiah and Malachi that he would send someone to prepare the way for the Lord. Luke describes John's ministry as one who was called by God in the wilderness to preach a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And in verse 4, we see Luke quoting Isaiah 40. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's ministry was to prepare the way for Jesus. His ministry was setting, if you like, the early signs of the path that Jesus would later come to follow in and to fulfill and to legitimize that John's ministry, that is exactly what God wants. And that path that John was preparing was a path of repentance. Now, at the time, not many people were preaching about repentance. People would teach about the law, teach about the sacrifices that people should have to make in order to appease God. But John's ministry was not so much with their actions. It wasn't concerned with their actions as much as it was about their hearts that inspired their actions. God wanted people in their hearts to reject sin and to desire living God's way. And this is what repentance is about. It starts in our hearts. It deals with our loves and our desires. And it then leads to a change in behaviour. John's baptism for the repentance, baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins was, in a way, a fresh start. It was a change in direction. And it was about shifting people towards the goal of being in a close relationship with God, to enjoy the peace that comes from knowing him and to worship him as he would want to be worshipped above all things. But we mustn't think of repentance as all we need for forgiveness of sins, because that would minimize the role that Jesus came to play in dying for our sins. We must see that John's ministry was a foretaste of what Jesus would later do. See, John wasn't the only one to preach about repentance. Jesus too preached about repentance in his ministry, in his life, all the way up until he died on the cross. And he didn't just stop then. Even when he rose again and he was meeting with his disciples on the beach, we see in Luke 24 that Jesus continued to call his disciples to proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins until Jesus would return as judge. And Malachi 3 is a passage that if we continue to read, we would see that it leads to a point where the coming judgment is prophesied. In verse 5, which is the verse after our reading, it says that Jesus will put everyone on trial and he'll testify against those who practice evil. For those who oppress people, for those who defraud people, all our sins will be judged. But I want to say to you today that we don't need to fear God's judgment if you know Christ. If you're in Christ, then the judgment is something that we should welcome, because all that stuff that we're not proud of will be judged as not of God, and he will do away with that so that it would no longer be a part of who we are, but we'll be like Jesus. 1 John 1:9 famously reminds us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that's what we're hearing about in the Malachi passage, about Jesus being this one who would be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap that would remove those impurities from us and make us pure as we need to be. Yes, God will judge all our unrighteousness. Jesus will judge all the times that we've worshipped things that are created things, that we put in place of God, that we worship those things instead of worshipping the Creator. All those things will be permanently removed from us. And that's what we see in Luke's passage. The Isaiah prophecy doesn't just speak of John's ministry, where he prepares a path before the Messiah. In the following verses from verse 5, we see that it prophesies about Jesus' ministry. It says in verse 5, every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. It's in the person of Jesus that we see God's salvation. As John prepared the way for the Messiah, he might have moved a few bushes here and there, might have seen some paths that he made. But Jesus' ministry, he lowered mountains and filled in valleys. He made a highway. Both John and Jesus called people to repentance, but it was Jesus who enabled people to have their sins forgiven. Jesus not only created the way for us to follow, but that he is the way. And repentance is the path. Repentance is saying no to those little tracks that might raise our curiosity about what's down that path. Repentance is saying no to that because that dishonors God, and it's saying yes to staying on his path that leads to eternity. And right now, we can live as we will for all eternity. We may as well start practicing now how we're going to be living forever rather than getting distracted by the things that won't exist forever. As we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus, through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we can and we should live as God has intended us to. So this Advent, as we remember the story of Jesus coming to be with us, coming into the taking on flesh and becoming a baby, well, let us also prepare for his coming again by repenting of our sin and trusting in Jesus' saving work upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. So will you join me as we pray that exact same prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for sending us Jesus. Thank you for creating the way for us to be with you. Thank you for making that path strong, that we can see it and we can always turn back to you. We pray that you would help us to worship you, to say no to sin and yes to your will in our lives. Help us to continue the ministry that you called your disciples to proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And help us to do this in word and also by example, that we would live lives of repentance, preparing for your coming again. And we pray, Lord, that you would come. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.